fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Tonight, coming to you from Sacramento, California, the site of UFC 177, Dillashaw versus Barao 2, the epic rematch that will go down in Dillashaw's hometown of Sacramento at the Sleep Train Arena on Saturday night. It's going to be a fantastic fight. I can't wait for this rematch to go down because of the epic performance that TJ put on to win that title a couple months back, 3 months ago in Las Vegas. I was there in person for that one. I'll be in person here for this one. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. His teammate, Danny Castillo, will be in the co-main event taking on Tony Ferguson. That's a good scrap, as is. There's a couple of other good ones on here, especially in the ladies' division. The women's bantamweight division is Betch Correa making a run at the four horsewomen, eventually trying to get to Ronda Rousey. She is now taking on Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler looking absolutely fantastic. I actually ran into her and Jessamine Duke at a local store here. She was out there picking up some stuff while she's cutting her weight, and we were picking up stuff for our own rooms here. You know, whenever I'm on the road, I need my coconut water for sure while in the room, and some fruits and vegetables for breakfast and stuff like that. So ran into her. She's looking fantastic. I'll be able to catch up with her throughout this week here. Check out sportsnet.ca for my interviews with her. But as we move forward with this show here, had a chance to catch up with Uriah Faber, the California kid at his gym, Ultimate Fitness. Ironically, UF, Uriah Faber, UF, Ultimate Fitness. So a good play on letters and words by Uriah there. Had a chance to catch up with him to get his thoughts. If you missed it, he was actually my co-host for this week's UFC Central television show. So if you missed it, check it out online. It should be on sportsnet.ca right now. It's still probably in replay mode across the country on the various Sportsnet channels, so set your PVR, check your guide. He did a fantastic job. We're very, very grateful and thankful that he was able to help us with that show there. We did so much stuff with Uriah. We also ran into Dwayne Ludwig, who was there running sparring day, which Wednesday is usually at Ultimate Fitness. It's sparring day, so he was there running the class. Obviously here for TJ Dillashaw, calls him his ninja, but I had a chance to catch up with Dwayne to get his thoughts on not just TJ Dillashaw, but on Danny Castillo, what's going on with him out in Denver as he opens up his new gym, his incredible, absolutely incredible striking system, his affiliate program. This guy's broken down striking to a whole new level. He gives us a little glimpse of what that's all about. And if you've been following me on Instagram or on Twitter, there was a picture taken of Dwayne and I going through the curriculum for the actual program, and I got to tell you, it is absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's impossible for me to memorize it, obviously, but I can't share that information. It's obviously confidential for Dwayne, and he would have to absolutely show it to you, or you have to be part of that program. But looking at it, the way he has it dissected, the way he breaks it down is absolutely second to none. It is unreal. When I spoke to Boss Rutten about Dwayne, and even if you listen to some of the interviews that people talk about Dwayne Ludwig and the coach, the way he breaks down striking, the way he breaks down mixed martial arts or striking for mixed martial arts, the whole Muay Thai bang system, it is crazy. It's almost a sickness that he has. He's so in love with what he does, and he wants to make sure that anyone can do it. And look at what he's done with TJ Dillashaw. I mean, TJ Dillashaw started training in mixed martial arts about four and a half years ago, and when Dwayne Ludwig joined the camp at the time, he took guys like Dwayne and everyone else and just brought them, or guys like TJ, and brought them to a whole new level. I mean, if you look at technically how TJ Dillashaw works his footwork, the way he works his striking, the way he works his combinations, the way he works his angles, the way he works his entries, it is the stuff of magic to be able to do it in such a short period of time. Now, can TJ Dillashaw compete with the best in the world in terms of Muay Thai and stuff like that? That's another topic for another day. But the way he looks at mixed martial arts is obviously fantastic. He is right now the best 135-pounder in the world. And he was a guy that was recruited by Uriah Faber. Remember, Uriah Faber doesn't let anyone into Team Alpha Male. I actually asked him that question during the conversation. I think it might have made it onto the show, but You take a look at the guys and girls that Uriah brings in to Team Alpha Male and to the Ultimate Fitness Gym for to train mixed martial arts and one day go pro. These are the best of the best, in his opinion, in the region. Some guys from around the world, Owen Carr from Canada is down here training. I ran into Andy Ogle, who gave me that nice little slap on the back. I call it the Anderson Silva slap when they say hi from behind because you don't know what's going on. But he says hi. He looked absolutely fantastic. His game is improving altogether. And that's, again, under the tutelage of Dwayne Ludwig and the fact that Uriah Faber knows that, listen, this kid has talent. He has the potential to take it to the next level. You can definitely come to the gym. And when I was sitting there, I mean, Justin Buchholz was there. Joseph Benavides was there. It was a who's who, and it was just blood, sweat, and tears out there, man. These guys are putting, and girls were putting in the work to get ready for their fights. But when Uriah Faber showed up, he just came in there. He's a little injured right now, but he was smiling ear to ear. And there were times in between the shoots where he was getting a little distracted, trying to pay attention to what was going on, because we're both talking, sitting there smiling, going, man, there's some really good fights going on the mats right now. We were kind of like, yeah, let's just stop the interviews for a second and pay attention to these two going at it, because it's getting pretty ugly. But that's how it is at Team Alpha Male and at the Ultimate Fitness Gym. But like I said, did have a chance to catch up with Uriah Faber, and here's my conversation with the California kid.
All right, Uriah, I'm at your gym. This place is absolutely fantastic. I'm sweating here. I'm wearing a T-shirt, chose not to wear a suit here today because I know what happens. I've been around the game for a long time. The minute I walk into a gym, I start sweating, and you can see it right now. I'm sweating. I want to put my gear in. I want to grab my mouth guard, but I don't think I want to sit there and spar with some of these dudes and ladies out here.
No, you probably wouldn't be, you know, too safe jumping in with this crew right now. This is about 40 of our top up-and-comers, some of the bright, you know, upcoming stars and some of the more established stars, some of the toughest dudes on the planet right here in this room right now.
Well, you take a look at some of these guys. I just saw Andy Ogle. He came up behind me and gave me a little, he gave me the Anderson Silva slap to the back of the shoulders where I thought I was going to go down there, but he said hi. I mean, everybody's here. I mean, Dwayne Ludwig's here. I can't find Danny or TJ, but they're probably going to be training a little later on because of the time, right?
Yeah, we've got Joseph Benavides is here.
Yep.
And, you know, we've got Cody Garbrandt, No Love. We've got,
yep.
A who's who of folks that are either climbing the way to the top or right about to make their pro debut. So we've got some amateurs in here as well.
Is that me or is it Fabio, the jiu-jitsu coach here, salivating right now?
Oh man, he's having a good time. You know what? What better for a coach to see a room full of hungry guys working their butts off?
And you got Benavides and Buchholz ripping me apart. Keep calling me Pitbull because when I wear those glasses, I'm getting it everywhere. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. When I wear the glasses, people are calling me Pitbull. But I'm not even wearing the glasses in the gym, and they keep ripping me. I mean, the camaraderie here is absolutely hilarious. I can't walk into this place without somebody ripping me.
Oh, yeah. No, we're used to busting each other's balls around here. It's part of the camaraderie. You know, we have a good time with it, but you know, you will get made fun of them time to time all in good faith.
What's the golden rule though? Because no one's taking a shot at my chin because you and I share the same chin. No one's taking a shot at that. Is that a golden rule at Team Alpha Male? Don't even bother.
Oh no, I get plenty. You know, it's kind of old news though. I mean, they're used to big, extravagant chins around here, so that's not really a big deal, you know, at this point.
So Dwayne Ludwig is here, and there was obviously some little friction between you and Dwayne over the past couple of months. Is everything okay between you two? Or
yeah, you know, Dwayne is moving back to Colorado. He moved his family back there, and I think he's getting ready to start his own gym. So in the meantime, he's been coming out a couple days a week to get these guys ready. And Martin Campman is actually coming in on the 14th, and we're gonna have Sean Yarbrough come out. So it's kind of a transitionary time where Dwayne's out and the other guys are coming in, but he'll still be popping in to help guys out.
But you two guys are cordial. Everything is fine?
Yeah, it's cordial. I mean, I won't be using him in my camps by any means, but, you know, I'm a fan of anybody that's helping out the team. And right now, you know, he's been putting in time.
TJ Dillashaw, UFC Bantamweight Champion. The first thing I want to say is I wonder what went through Uriah's mind. You go on, you take on Hayden Burrell. You know, early stoppage or whatnot, it should have been stopped that or the way it went down. But then on the mic, you said, you know what, UFC, please give TJ a shot. Let him, he's ready, let him go. They give him a shot, and then he emerges victorious. Was there a part of you that said, man, that could have been me? Or is it, you know what, no, what's not me, it's TJ's time, he's the champ, let it go.
Well, I don't put myself in that equation at all with him getting the belt. You know, I've had TJ as my main training partner for, you know, 4+ years at this point, and I know what he's capable of. I wouldn't put him in a situation where I didn't think he could win. And, you know, of course it's unfortunate that you know, the way the fight went down with the controversy, and it was a short notice, and all that stuff. But in reality, I kind of snuck in there. That was a 3 week fight where, you know, I stepped in because someone else had been injured. And
that's a big difference, though. That's I mean, necessarily that's not good for a guy like you, because you've been around for such a long time. You're risking so much.
Yeah, it's risking, but I mean,
the reward is huge.
This is not a safe sport, man. This is not a sport where you try to stay safe. You know, you do that, you get a bad reputation, you get you miss out on opportunities, you know, and it's just the wrong mentality in general. I thought I was going to win the world championship belt on 3 weeks' notice, even with an injury, because I believe in myself, and I believe that TJ was going to get it if he got the opportunity himself.
The one thing you said, you've actually said it publicly at post-fight press conferences, is the one guy at the gym that's the bully, it's TJ.
Yeah.
Now, when I know TJ, I mean, you can see it in his eyes sometimes, but he's just a nice guy. He's so chill, but not so much when he walks through these doors.
Oh, man. TJ is the most competitive guy we have in the gym, and that goes for anything. So he does have a real mean streak, too. And he knows that. We all know that. We've had to have talks with him about toning it down.
Wow.
About, you know, throwing knees during boxing sparring, or, you know, he loses his emotions at time. But we've really been working on honing that down to just a killer instinct and not, you know, losing his cool because of a temper. And, you know, you guys have seen the result. He's at the top of his game.
I remember fight week 3 months ago when he fought Hanan Burrell. I was talking to some of my producers and some of the other media, my peers, and I said, listen, we all know that Hanan Burrell is a heavy favorite. We understand that. We get it. But the fact that Uriah nominated TJ Dillashaw means something. At the same time, look at TJ. And I remember there was a beautiful picture taken of the pre-fight when the guys were squared off. And, you know, Burrell gets right in his face. And TJ just looked at him like, you have no idea what you're in for.
Yeah.
And it was like a secret that nobody knew. Now we know afterwards. There was something going on that only TJ and you guys knew. The secret's out now. But it was just, and looking back, it was just inspiring.
Yeah, you know, and it takes a long time to get opportunities in this sport. It's about, you know, being here and putting in your time, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think I had a little hand in being able to push that forward, not because of trying to cheat the system, but because TJ was ready. And, I mean, we all knew it. You know, the betting odds were great for the folks that are in the gym with TJ every day.
Oh, some people made it rich.
Yeah, some people made a good you know, good chunk of change there. And you know, it doesn't matter what the public knows. It's about what a person knows in their heart. It's about what a fighter believes in himself. And it's about the team that surrounds them. And you know, that was the difference for us.
In breaking down this fight, I've talked to Dwayne. I talked to you before we did the TV show. I've talked to Boss Rutan. I've talked to a bunch of different coaches. And what I'm trying to gather is, you know, I don't want to state the obvious here, but at the same time, he dominated Hanan Burrell so much. So come Saturday night, we're not just going to see the same performance. We are going to see something different. But how much do you take that level, that barrier, and say, okay, we need to do this many things different, but we also got to stick to the same game plan in a way because we destroyed this guy?
You know, yeah, I think you keep a lot of things the same until you have to change it up. And that's one thing that TJ is really good at, is improvising. You know, a lot of the style that you saw out there from him is a mixture of the stuff that he learned from, you know, Master Tong throughout the years, where he's dropping his hands and doing the footwork. It's from him emulating Dominic Cruz from all the times that we've had to battle him, and, you know, from Joseph to me fighting against Dominic Cruz, and TJ having to emulate his style and taking things from that. It's about the new stuff that Dwayne Ludwig has brought in, and the new combos, and the ability for TJ to really utilize his kicks and knees. You know, you saw a lot of different stuff that comes from a lot of different places, and it's going to continue to be like that.
Well, the only bad thing about that evening, and you've known me long enough, I'm living the dream. I love what I do, was the fact that I was backstage, because I was the UFC wanted me to interview the co-main event and the main event winners. So I watched that whole fight on a small, tiny screen, so I didn't really get to see everything. I've watched the fight numerous times afterwards, but, I mean, it was just electrifying, and I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday at the arena, but I hope to get to see it Octagon side. When you're sitting there Octagon side and seeing one of your boys, it could be Joseph, it could be TJ, it could be Danny, who's in the co-main event, we should talk about that. What goes through your mind? Because it's out of your hands. There's nothing you can do.
Man, it's a scary time, really, you know, and you always have confidence in your guys, but you don't have any control. When you're in there fighting, you know, you at least have some sort of control of what you're going to do and what you're going to perform, but for the guys that you've brought up and the guys that you've mentored and the guys that have been part of your extended family, you know, it's always kind of a scary thing.
Danny, last call is taking on Tony Ferguson. I love this fight because I think Danny's game has just been unbelievably improving. He was an awesome fighter in the WEC, and now he gets to the UFC. He just keeps getting better and better and better and better. He's also one of the funniest guys that I've ever met in this industry.
Yeah.
He knows how to have a good time. I was actually upset with the just messing around with the editors for the Ultimate Fighter Show when you and Dominic were coaches, because I thought he would take over the show somehow because he's an absolute train wreck at times.
But that's right.
When it comes to fighting, he's very professional. When he's training, he's very professional. Tony Ferguson is no joke.
Yeah.
This is going to be a solid scrap in the co-main event. How do you break it down?
You know, I think what we're going to see is exactly that. We're seeing a very dangerous Tony Ferguson. He's got a heavy arsenal. He's got some slick submissions. But, you know, we've seen Danny in the past go against a submission guy and ground and pound him and get into his game and not be worried. He'd take a stand-up guy and catch him with a clean one on the chin and put him on his butt. So Danny's the well-rounded fighter in this mix. He's the guy that has, you know, not only the experience. I think this is his 18th or 19th fight for the Zuffo organizations, but you know, a guy that has taken his life to a different place. You know, he's been, you know, really cleaning up his act, getting his head straight, getting focused over the last couple of years, and you're going to see the best Danny Castillo possible.
Well, he was antisocial with me yesterday at the hotel. He didn't even say hi to me, but I get it. He's got a massive jug of water. He's cutting weight. He's got to do his thing. How does he deal with fighting at home, though?
You know, I think it's going to motivate Danny. Danny is a guy that has, you know, one of the most loyal guys you'll ever meet. And for me, that doesn't mean, you know, just having his family and his friends back. That means representing a city. And there's nothing he wants more, I'm sure, than to get a huge victory in his hometown, the place that he represents, the place that he calls home, the place he has so much pride in.
Yourself, I remember when you mentioned that you'd love to compete in Japan. I thought to myself, oh man, how cool would that be? Old school guy like Uriah going over to the Mecca, because I know when I went over there, it was Ben Henderson and Frankie Edgar. I was in awe from being at the arena, the Saitama Arena, to walking the streets of Tokyo. I mean, thinking back, I mean, that might be too old for some of the people, the listeners right now, but you know, VHS tapes, watching Pride, watching Shudo, watching Japan Valley Tudo, watching Hickson compete out there. It was just memorable, and I would probably have gone if you competed in Japan. I would have figured out some way to ask Sportsnet to please send me, but it's not happening. It's very unfortunate. What's going on with you right now?
You know what? I was just nursing some injuries and wasn't able to train for my fight up until about 4 weeks before this next fight. So the day I stepped on the mat for my first training was the day they announced I wasn't fighting. So there's a lot of confusion going on with people like, oh my gosh, what happened to Uriah, this and that. The bottom line was I agreed to have them put me on the card before I was healed up, hoping that I would heal up faster, and it didn't happen. So I'm ready now. I've been training my butt off. I'm ready for an assignment. I'm ready to take on the next up-and-comer.
I don't want to take the W word out of your mouth, but I'm going to talk about Dominic Cruz right now. Is that a guy that you're done with? Have you moved on from him, or are you looking at saying, no, I'm never done with that guy?
No, we've got some history, man. We've got to go toe-to-toe at least one more time and see who's boss. You know, I know he's going to be shooting for that belt, and I'm ranked number two in the world. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup with him and Mizugaki. I think, actually, Mizugaki has kind of a bad style for Dominic Cruz. You know, meaning Cruz has a good style for Mizugaki.
Yeah. The problem, well, yeah. The thing is, though, the stats show that after a 12-month layoff, the percentage of a fighter winning is somewhere around 34-35%. So those odds are not in Dominic Cruz's favor. But is he part of that 30-35% that does emerge victorious? Because, like I said, with TJ Dillashaw, he brings a game plan that not many people can figure out, not many people can understand, and you've been in there with him. So whether Mizugaki is tough or not, it's still Dominic Cruz, former champ.
Yeah, no, I don't put him in that category. I mean, Dominic Cruz is a world champion. I mean, he's got that. And world champion has nothing to do with your knee or your arm or anything else. It has to do with your mind. So I know when I was with a huge layoff after my Mike Brown fight where I broke both my hands, I was hitting it hard and doing a lot of rehab. And I came out and I felt great. So I think, you know, Dominic is going to come out and perform like he can. If his performance is good enough to beat Mizugaki, his best performance, then I think he'll get the win, because I imagine he'll bring his best performance out.
Well, the W word wasn't used. That's the first time ever. The
weirdo?
Wait, where does the weirdo thing come from?
No, I just is unorthodox is a good way to describe him. He's got like a bunch of funny movements, and he hits with weird parts of his hands. So you know, weirdo it is.
He's going to kill me if he listens to this. You talk about the champion's mindset. And the one thing I tell, my associate producer, Jimmy Cotton, standing right behind you, and one of the things I showed him and Jacob Clark, I said, you have to understand when these guys step into the cage, it's a different world. You look at a guy like Uriah Faber, nicest guy you're ever going to meet. But when he steps into the cage, there's something different there. And I showed them the Brian Bowles fight where you had him up against the cage and you stepped off and you threw the elbow over the top of his head. And I said, you know, you have to have, I don't know about rage, it's not rage, but you're there to hurt somebody. And, you know, if anyone was to meet you, they think, that guy would never hurt a fly. Well, let me tell you something. Then there's the mindset when you fought, you know, Mike Thomas Brown. Both your hands are gone. You went five rounds. You didn't stop. Where does this come from? Because researching your background, you know, with your parents and your mom, you know, you have a pretty good background.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
happy upbringing.
I mean, I've got a great support system with my family. Of course, nothing's ever perfect in these family settings, but I did have a lot of love and a lot of support. So it's not rage for me. It's me putting myself in a place where I don't go very often. You know, the only times that I'm in that mindset, like the mindset that I've had during a fight, is when I'm in a fight. It's where you're able to let it all hang out and you're able to hurt someone, and it's because it's a competition. It's because it's something that you want to do to test yourself. So it's a lot different than people really think. And, you know, for me, I enjoy competition. I enjoy being able to let it all out, even though I'm not that person on the street. And I enjoy winning.
All right, we're going to let you go because I know you got a bunch of things to do, but the Ultimate Fighter Season 20 is starting, the strawweights. You're a good friend of Anthony Pettis, so you know him very well. You know Gilbert, obviously, very, very well. The Diaz brothers are, lo and behold, somewhere lurking around here, pretty sure. Love those two guys. Nick and I have had some good times. I think he's one of the most underappreciated. No one understands that guy. He's just an awesome dude.
Yeah.
But it's a season of where a champion will be crowned. Loving it. Are you on the show at all? Did you make an appearance? What advice do you have for them?
You know, I did actually stop by the house and do a little guest coaching. And I'm actually friends with Gilbert and I'm friends with Pettis. You know, Pettis and I have the same management team. And, you know, he's done some real cross-training here. And throughout the years, I've actually done some cross-training with Gilbert. And the Diaz brothers are good friends of mine. So I went on there as a guy to go on and help these girls and see the next generation of folks. And I'm excited about these girls, man. These girls are ruthless.
What's it like sparring with Anthony? Because it must suck. Because he's so good.
You know what? It doesn't suck that bad because the guy knows how to control himself. When you got a guy that's that skilled, and me being the guy that's a little bit smaller than him, he understands how to not, you know, put you under if he has the opportunity, and so I can appreciate that. So we've done some grappling, we've done some sparring, and the guy is a real technician. You can see that in his fights.
Listen, I want to thank you very much for allowing us to enter your house. You did UFC Central, the TV side. You did the radio side. You've done so much for my career over the years. I want to thank you very, very much.
Well, you know what? I think getting some notoriety for our chins is part of that, and we did it, man. We got to thank our parents for that one.
There you have it, the California kid, Uriah Faber. People always are taking shots at us because of our chins. Some people call it the butt chin, some people call it the bum chin. It is what it is. It's a double chin. It's a John Travolta special. Call it what you will. Nothing we can do about it. It's a gift from our parents, like Uriah said. All right, coming up after the break, the coach, Dwayne Bang Ludwig, and much more on UFC Central. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Are you ready now?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Tonight, we are coming to you from Sacramento, California, the site of UFC 177 Dillashaw versus Burrell 2 for the Bantamweight Championship of the World, the rematch that so many of us have been waiting for because TJ Dillashaw put on that epic performance about 3 months ago in Las Vegas, stunning the mixed martial arts world, putting everybody in check, once again proving that whenever two people get into the octagon, have the referee step out of the way and let them determine it. Forget about the odds makers, forget about the odds, forget about who the public favors and who the public believes is an underdog. Let them step in there and let them prove it. And I'll never forget that week leading up there when TJ Dillashaw had this weird, almost like an aura, whether you believe in auras or not, but a weird sort of, it was almost a strange sort of look around him. He just had this secret that nobody knew about other than the guys from Team Alpha Male and, of course, his coach Dwayne Ludwig and himself. And just, I remember that stare down with Burrell. It was not the way, and the day before when it was just the media day, and Burrell got right in his face, and TJ was like, "You got no idea what's coming for you." And then on fight night, to do what he did, dropping him in the first round, proceeding to continue for four more rounds, finishing him off in the fifth round via TKO, it was unbelievable. And so many emotions running through so many people that were there live watching it, especially for Coach Dwayne Ludwig. And when those two embraced in the octagon, it was difficult for yours truly to watch because it's just when you see the culmination of hard work that two guys put on and to get to a certain level and to reach a goal, it's unbelievable. And having had the pleasure of knowing Dwayne Ludwig for as long as I've known him and to see what he was able to do, because the difficulties that he had before cornering Joseph Benavidez, cornering Uriah Faber when they went for their title shots and just coming up short, that finally one of their guys, TJ Dillashaw, who he remains and continues to state is his number one student, his number one ninja. If you listen to some of the interviews out there and do some of the research, you really get a sense that these two are not only just best friends, student and teacher, sensei and student. It's incredible the relationship that they have, and Dwayne firmly believes in his student. TJ believes in anything and everything that Dwayne has to offer and has to say, and just to be able to pull that off in what looked almost very Dominic Cruz-esque, like Uriah mentioned on the TV show, on the radio show, it was one of those things where it's like, this guy can't get hit. I mean, he's going to get hit, but he's not going to get hit, and he's going to be able to absorb or not get hit with full power with what Burrell was offering. And it was such a beautiful sight to behold. And remember, he was such a massive underdog, widely considered almost a sacrificial lamb heading in there versus Burrell. Burrell was supposed to kill him, was supposed to get a paycheck, was supposed to destroy him. It just didn't happen. And when the fight was all said and done, I remember just the feeling at the MGM Grand. People were kind of looking around, and it was part, we just saw something unbelievable, historic happen, and we're really happy, but what about the rematch? Are these guys actually going to have a rematch? Because Burrell was on this 9-year winning streak, hadn't lost in so many fights, like up in the 30s. And does he deserve a rematch? And nobody really knew. No one knew if the UFC was going to put on a rematch. We all thought, perhaps that, Hayden Burrell, because of the beatdown, because of the beating, he was going to have to take at least one more fight because TJ dominated him in such a crazy fashion that, he's going to have to go out there, win one fight before getting a title shot. But lo and behold, the UFC puts on the rematch. The UFC says, no, we're going to put this rematch on. People want to see it, and I'm telling you right now, people want to see this fight. You can say what you want about this card. It's not stacked up and down. That's because many of us who if you're a UFC fan, you're used to stacked cards. You're not used to having just one fight as the big fight. You can say what you want about the co-main event and the rest of the fights, the ladies and then the prelims and stuff like that. Not every UFC card is going to be stacked, but when you have a main event like this, it will more than make up for what you may think is a lackluster card. And believe me, it's such an insult to the fighters that are competing on the card when you say it's a garbage card, because they're going to put on a great performance. And I think if you go back and you take a look, 9 times out of 10, all these cards that people say are garbage, it's not worth it, they end up being the best. I remember TJ Dillashaw versus Hayden Burrell 3 months ago, people were saying it's terrible, I'm not buying this pay-per-view, what a garbage event, and look what happened. Look what happened. An unbelievable performance, arguably the greatest upset in UFC history, especially for a title fight. You could compare it with George St. Pierre and Matt Serra if you like, but arguably the greatest upset of all time. TJ Dillashaw pulls it off. Now he's heading into this rematch, defending his title as the favorite. Is he the favorite? We're going to find out, obviously, on Saturday night. I'm not really into, I do pay attention to the odds sometimes, but I'm not really into favorites and underdogs. I'll list them on the radio and TV show just for the sake of for those that
really enjoy putting down money in a fight. I guess putting your money where your mouth is, sort of thing. But I just look at when I break it down on paper, and I'll determine who has the edge in my own opinion. And when I look at this fight here, it is very, very difficult, despite what happened the first time. You know, sometimes you take that into account, sometimes you don't. But you just never know. You've got to, who knows how TJ Dillashaw is going to feel on Saturday night? Who knows how Hendon Brown is going to feel on Saturday night? That's some things that you have to take into consideration. Which guy is showing up the closest to 100%? Because they never, if ever, show up at 100% when they step into the octagon. You just don't know the various factors of what's going on physically and mentally when these guys step into the cage. So you just never know. How was that weight cut? How was the travel? Did they get bad news from home? Are they in a, you know, a scrap with their girlfriend or their boyfriend? You just never know what these guys and girls are going through. So you got to take that into consideration. Like I said, lock the cage door, have the referee signal fight on, step away, and let them continue. And one guy who over the years has been dealing with so many difficulties when he competed under the UFC banner, had some great, he's got a record for the fastest knockout in the octagon, but he did have some injury issues. And in his Muay Thai career, he was absolutely a monster. He was fantastic, and that's Dwayne Ludwig, now arguably one of the best coaches in mixed martial arts. He's up there with the Greg Jacksons, the Faraza Hobbies. The guy is just something else. He's fantastic at what he does, and he's a stickler, man. He absolutely loves what he does. And when we got to the Ultimate Fitness Gym, Uriah Faber's Ultimate Fitness Gym, the first person that entered there, other than the manager, obviously, was Dwayne Ludwig, and he beelined right to him. He said hi. We caught up on some stuff that we don't usually catch up with over text or email or even Instagram, and we're just shooting the breeze. And eventually, I said, you know what, dude? When you're done the class, come and sit with me. Well, I want to interview you for the radio show. He's like, we could do it now. I'll do it in the middle of class. He's just so open to anything that I offer. He's such an awesome guy. But obviously, and I wanted him to do the class and want to see how he coaches these guys. And it is something to behold. I mean, these folks, when they're on the mats, when Dwayne is coaching, they just look at him like a deity. He's just unbelievable and unreal. And then finally he was done. Finally had a chance to speak with him. He stepped off the mats, came over to join me. We sat down, shot the breeze right away, and then boom, hit record. So here's my conversation with Dwayne Bang Ludwig.
All right, Dwayne, my first time coming to Sacramento, California. I've been around the world, and one of the first guys I saw walk into the gym was you, and obviously big smile on my face because we've known each other over the years. How's things going over here?
Things are going really well. You know, I got a great group of guys to train and work with and build my coaching skills and build their martial art base, so it's an excellent win-win situation. I love it.
I'm still going to have a hard time on Saturday night when I see you corner TJ Dillashaw, because when he won the title a couple of months ago, I was overcome with emotion, but thankfully I was backstage, so no one could see anything. But then you guys all came back there, and I just know because the amount of work you've put in over your career, then as a coach, my conversation with Boss Rutten over the years about you and guys like Sean Tompkins and the love that you have for teaching. I mean, the guy wins the title. But it's not like he won it in controversial fashion. He dominated him.
Yeah, he definitely dominated. It's a prime example when you have a world-class athlete that's dedicated and has the proper information and the proper team behind him. There's no choice but success, you know. And it makes me feel good to go ahead and see my flowers grow. You know, like they're my kids to me, man. I genuinely love my job and love my guys. So when TJ won, I was definitely very emotional. That was a special time in my life, for sure, and in mixed martial arts history.
Well, the ninja flourished, but the ninja didn't work in darkness. He worked under the spotlights.
Yeah, sir, for sure, for sure. Watching TJ Dillashaw shadow box and fight is like reading the Bengue Tai curriculum, man. Everything that he did in the fight is exact. We trained everything that he threw. So it's just crazy to watch it. I mean, it goes on every day on the pads and sparring and shadow boxing, and see it happen in the fight. It's expected. Like, a lot of people are blown away by the fight. I wasn't blown away. Just to watch the beauty of it was awesome. And then I almost forgot it was for the belt. And then when you got the belt wrapped around, let's go, yeah, it is for the belt. So I don't ever focus on those things. I just focus on like the minor details, the footwork, the strategy, the combinations and such. Because I know if you focus on that, then the end result will come, which is the belt.
Heading into that fight, he was such a massive underdog. But then when he showed up, actually, no, I was looking at some of the Instagram videos, looking at some of his tweets. Then he shows up to Vegas, interviewing him, and just paying attention. You know me. I pay attention to every small detail, how the guy's walking, how the girl's walking, how is his shoulder rolling. And he had a secret. There was something there. And then when they squared off, him and Barao squared off, you know, Barao right in his face, and TJ was sort of like, you got no idea what's coming to you. It was a secret, man. It was just crazy.
I can genuinely say that we are on another level. We do things that other camps and gyms and trainers and fighters do not do, period. like we're on the cutting edge of martial arts evolution, and I've been around for a while. These guys have been around for a while, and I can generally say that we're doing things that other camps are not doing, period.
When you're training these guys, and we talked about it when I first saw you this morning, and it's a weird trait, and we don't want to diminish it. We don't want to throw any insults out there, but there's a small sense of OCD when it comes to me and my career, the way you teach, GSP. I mean, people are making fun of him. It's not something to be made fun of. When you love something, nothing will pull you away, and you love teaching, and you've broken down striking to the minutest of details with your system.
Yes, exactly. It's just the OCD. I genuinely, again, genuinely love what I do. And I can't do anything else. Like, this is just, it's, I don't know if I picked martial arts or if it picked me, but I'm here on earth to teach and train martial arts. And I know that that's my gift, and my gift back to the world is sharing it. So it just makes me happy as hell. I love this 100%.
Well, passion breeds success. So what's going to happen is this affiliate system, the Bang Ludwig MMA system, the belt system. I mean, you got a belt system in striking. We're not talking karate or taekwondo. We're talking about something completely different here.
Sir. Yeah, you know, I took the traditional recipe of karate, taekwondo, and such, and just put in what I feel is proper information for today's mixed martial artists. You know, we talked about, I'm very OCD about my martial arts, and I broke down all the correct and incorrect habits and sequences that go on in fighting, and made it turn it striking literally into a system. And I've broken that up into levels and ranking and everything, so everyone knows where they stand. And you know, as human beings, we're goal set oriented, you know, so we got to make sure we have the goal to keep pushing and going forward. And that's exactly what I created, which is something like karate based, you know, with the ranking structure, just with today's modern information. So I look at it as Bang Muay Thai is more of a traditional like martial arts with today's modern training methods.
I spoke with Boss Rutan over the weekend because he came up to London, Ontario for the Sean Tompkins Memorial Tournament. Even before that, I asked him about the similarities between yourself and Sean when Sean was alive. And he said, well, they're similar in terms of their love for coaching. But, you know, and Boss said, listen, I'll admit it. You know, I used to go party with Sean. But Sean would come up, you know, if we'd come home at 6 in the morning, if he had someone cutting weight at 7 a.m., he'd be there. Dwayne is the complete opposite. Dwayne doesn't party. Dwayne doesn't do anything. Dwayne's a family guy. Not that Sean wasn't, but Dwayne's a different guy. But he was there to learn and fight and teach. Do you remember Sean Tompkins at all in terms of you know, what are your memories of Sean?
My memories of Sean is that he's a very dedicated coach. You know, I learned a lot from him as far as his passion for coaching. And his guys loved him, which shows that he loved his guys. You know, you're going to give respect and you're going to get love if you give it out first. So he's definitely a guy, and I can see why all his fighters were committed to him and loyal to him, because he was loyal back and committed back. So he was an excellent role model for me. But it's just what I naturally do. It's what he naturally does. I don't think Sean tried to be that. He is that. And the same thing for me, period. You know, we're on this rock to teach martial arts and passionately, and that's exactly what we're doing. What he was doing, now I'm doing.
I could tell stories about Boss Rutan for a full hour on this episode here. I'm sure everyone else can. But you've known Boss for a very long time. Your relationship different than anyone else. Sum up El Guapo for us.
Very intense. Black and white, loving, caring, passionate dude, you know. And he's another guy that when he trained me, he was very passionate about what I did. I took what he said to heart. He made sure that what he taught me was from his heart. And again, that's why we were successful together.
Isn't it absolutely insane that the guy's, like, his back is ripped. His forearms are ripped. I mean, the guy's not getting any younger. It's so bad about his neck, but the guy is so, like, built right now.
Yeah, Boss is an exceptional human being. You know, there's not many people like Boss. And there's not many people like Sean Tompkins or TJ Dillashaw or any of us, you know, which is why we're here in the spotlight, right? And creating new things each and every day. Out of all the people in the world, you know, we're the ones that are sticking out because we're focusing on what we're doing. And Boss is taking his natural gifts and put it into the martial arts, which has been grateful because he passed a lot of information to me. Now I'm taking that and then doing what I can with it.
So I picked his brain. I said, when I get to Sacramento, hopefully I get to see Dwayne and pick his brain. I said, TJ Dillashaw dominates Hannon Burrell. The issue is, now he gets an immediate rematch. Now, do I agree with the immediate rematch? It's irrelevant because I didn't put the fight together. The UFC did. But what do you do if you're TJ Dillashaw and your coach Dwayne Ludwig and you say, we got to fight this guy again? Do we stick to the game plan? Do we mix in something new? I think you have to mix in something new to keep it surprising. But, you know, what can we expect from TJ, though, especially with when you look at this and you break it down? Listen, we did this, right? Maybe we should do this as well.
Yes, you know, we're always evolving and improving each and every day. And what we did last fight was a simple recipe. So we're going to do some more of that, but we added some new things, which everyone says they add some new tricks, right? But we literally have. I mean, we have no choice but to evolve. It's just how our brains operate. And same thing, you know, as Sean Tompkins and Boss, myself and TJ, like, we're all OCD about martial arts, which is why we all get along. We're all like we're all the same freaking person. We really are. And yeah, seriously, man, TJ is just as OCD and committed to his job as I am, and I love it, which is why it works, you know? Because I can't work with someone who's lazy, and TJ probably wouldn't want to listen to a coach that's lazy and doing half-ass job, you know? So we're definitely a good mix together. And TJ, he's got some new tricks that we've worked on together, and it's going to be an interesting night for sure.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen listening to the show, you just missed a sinister, sinister smile by the coach right now. Speaking of sinister, a guy I've known over the years, one of the funniest guys you'll probably ever meet in your life, Danny Last Call Castillo. He's got Tony Ferguson in the co-main event. That's not an easy fight. Danny's been growing. Danny's been evolving. What's in store for the fans that are tuning into Saturday night's co-main event?
What's in tune, you know, what's going to happen is Danny is going to be a little bit of a different athlete than you've seen before. We've worked on some new things. He's really turned a corner between his last fight and this fight. He has definitely flipped the script, and he's doing some things that we've been working on for the last year and a half, and now they're finally coming out. I mean, he's been getting better, but now he really turned a corner, and I just can't wait to see that bell ring for him to pull it off. It's going to be awesome. Danny is another exceptional, dedicated athlete that gets better each and every time, and this time he made some huge leaps, which are going to be fun to see.
Colorado. Moving back there, getting everything going. Annie Ogle just sort of made an impromptu appearance here. He gave me the Anderson Silva slap today. I don't know if you know that. Anderson, when he sees me, gives me the big slap on the back to say hi when I'm not paying attention. And I didn't realize Andy had so much hair in his head, so good for him. How is Andy Ogle doing, by the way?
Andy Ogle's doing good. AD kicked in as well. Andy Ogle's doing good. He's been out here for, I think, about a month or so, and he loves the team. He just bought an open one-way ticket, and he hasn't went back since, and he's loving it. He's a great part. I think he's smart for staying around as much as he has, you know? He's definitely crazy, though. He's off the wall, I guess, which a lot of us are. It's been a blessing to have Andy here because he's another high-level UFC athlete, and it's good to have those guys in here pushing each other. So it's been good for TJ, it's been good for Danny, it's been good for me, it's been good for Benavides as well, and everyone on the team. So it's definitely a blessing to have Andy here.
Back to Denver, Colorado. What's happening?
What's happening is I went up to Ludwig Martial Arts and finally go back to the home state. Well, actually, my family, we already moved the family back, but I'm looking to open up the academies in the middle of September and finally, you know, have my childhood dream of having my own academy. So I can't wait for that. I can't wait to step on my mats, bow on my mats, line my members up, you know, and share along my martial arts information. And that's it's a dream come true for me. So I can't wait for that.
Have you seen the movie Elysium? It's a mind meld. No, it's almost like a Vulcan mind meld. They put this chip into what's Matt Damon's mind. I'm looking at you right now going, if I could just get that chip out of your head into my head, I would have the Bang Muay Thai system in my head. One day we'll review it together. But at the same time, I love the Instagram. Because the little ninjas, little Dwayne Ludwig or little Bang Ludwigs are out there. The kids are out there. Can the system eventually work? Or where would you start the system? Because, you know, I got a 3.5-year-old turning 4, and he mimics daddy when I'm downstairs training, hitting the bag or doing jiu-jitsu or whatever. Can the kids start it soon?
That's going to be per parent and whatever, how they want to push their kid or not, or, you know, advise their kid. I'm going to have little Dwayne Bang. He's already into it. I mean, he's around martial arts, you know, his whole life. So he has, I didn't say no choice, but I'm going to support whatever he picks. But, I mean, martial arts, he's around all the time. So he's been brainwashed for the martial arts already, you know, from Ninja Turtle movies and watching dad train and teach. So he'll be a martial artist. I will have a requirement for my kids to wrestle, do jiu-jitsu, and strike. They will have to have the martial art tools, you know, in their skill set from their walk around on the streets to doing what they need to do. But as far as a proper age, 3, 4, 5, you know, I'm not going to tell someone how to raise their kid right, but I would say 3, 4, or 5, as long as they're passionate about it and want to do it.
So that was the final question. I'm thinking, I mean, I'm going to start bringing my son to the gym as an example. After his birthday in December, he turns 4. Is that the perfect age to start?
I think 4 or 5 would be perfect, 100%. As long as they want to do it. Heck yeah, you know. And you see how we train today. We train safely. It's all from the Bang Muay Thai curriculum. We all train safely. And there's four things to ask my guys to do. Show up on time, get better, get tired, take care of your partner, period. Do those four things and we're good to go.
I'm not asking any other question because that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck on Saturday night.
My friend, appreciate it.
there you have it, Dwayne Bag Ludwig. And if you saw some of the Instagram posts that him and I have been doing there, one of them actually blew up. Was the one when he was showing me the actual pictures, or sorry, showing me the actual curriculum for the book. And he actually reposted it, and it sort of blew up my social media, which was fantastic. So thank you very much to Dwayne Ludwig for that. Obviously, he's got his work cut out for him with two guys, one in the main event, in Danny Castillo taking on Tony Ferguson. I really love that fight, by the way. And of course, the main event, his number one ninja, TJ Dillashaw, the UFC bantamweight champion of the world, defending his title versus the man he defeated, Hannon Burrell, Saturday night at the Sleep Train Arena. Don't forget that you can catch 2 hours of live prelim action on Sportsnet 360 starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So it's going to be some good scraps on that undercard. You will have some fun, believe me, when you do pay attention to that. I'm actually paying attention more to the main card with Betch Korea taking on Shayna Baszler. I love that scrap, because if Betch Korea defeats Shayna Baszler, she's won, you know, she's going to call out Ronda Rousey, because she's just one by one taking care of these four horsewomen. Ramsey Nijem is taking on Carlos Diego Pereira. That's a great scrap. Yancy Medeiros taking on Damon Jackson. But the main event, or the main fight for the prelim card, is Lawrence Larkin versus Derek Brunson. That is going to be a sick scrap. The debut of Olympic gold medalist Henry Cejudo taking on Scott Jorgensen in the flyweight division. Pay attention to that fight there. It is free on Sportsnet 360. You definitely want to check it out. It is going to be a spectacular scrap, because it could be, I think Henry stated that a new sheriff is in town and in the UFC's 125-pound division, and he doesn't like second place. So should be a great scrap. Make sure you check it out on Sportsnet 360. Thank you very much to Uriah Faber. Thank you very much to Dwayne Ludwig, and to you, the listeners. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.